Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a Festivus week around here. It's not normal. If it were normal, Vic Carucci and I would probably be bellied up at the Anchor Bar having some food and seeing things up down the strip. There was a great record store, CD store up by Buff State that I used to hang out, go up to North Tonawanda. But alas, I will not be seeing the big buffaloes on the side of the road out in Lancaster and Depew this week. I am going to defer. Vic Carucci is here. He's been covering football since, he hates when I say this. I was a kid reading his work. I loved your work. And now I get to know you and have you on the program. Man, I'm missing out on this Buffalo trip. You know I love coming up there with you guys. And I love the spirit of all of it. And I haven't been to a big game in Buffalo in 30 years. I was at some of those games back during the Kelly era. But right. the notion that in the modern era there'd be a home playoff game in January on a Saturday night with players like Lamar and Josh, it's kind of a shame that that your folks are not being treated to this. This is a major event in Western New York, right?
Oh, major doesn't begin to describe it, Nestor. And first of all, thank you for having me on. I would tell you that it's interesting, comparing it to the Super Bowl run, the 1990s era Bills, four consecutive Super Bowls, obviously tremendous excitement, captivated the imagination of the town. You had a real full-on as far as the love affair with the team and the sense that really nothing else going on mattered. You have a very similar feeling now, but it's a different generation of fans that are into this. And, you know, to your point about having this happen, having home playoff games and having only, and I say only because it's 6,700 fans is the max that New York State is allowing to these games at Bill Stadium. That's 9%. This place holds upwards of 70,000+. And yeah, they can make their presence felt, but it's nowhere near what it really should be given the quarter of a century that people have been waiting for, the Bills to win a division, which they did, finally get out from under the Patriots' shadow, and two, to have this chance to host home playoff.
Well, and this thing's turned around, right? McDermott and what they've done there, the Pegulas trying to get to this point, Rex Ryan before this. Well, you've covered the league for so long, and they've waited there for so long. We've been pretty good here. I mean, our fans are spoiled to the point where I don't think they realize how spoiled they are to, you know, have gone from one to the other. It's been a little while since Harbaugh won a playoff game. He got his win. Lamar hadn't won any before this week. He got his win. But it feels like we're year three of this, and having spit up the playoff game at home the last 2 years, you know, this feels like two more seasoned teams this year. It's going to be a great game Saturday. It's a reason the league put this in primetime.
I have no doubt that this is as good, if not great, a matchup as the NFL could want in this postseason. And yeah, there is a difference in how these teams are perceived by their respective fan bases. In Baltimore, I mean, there is a standard, a high standard that's been set in consistency at that level of contention. I mean, going into this year, the Ravens were seen by many, including me, as a team to beat, as a team that you could easily see going the distance and right up there with Kansas City. But I mean,
I think they got to be seen as that again now, though. They had to earn that again. They went out of that conversation for a month.
And they faded out of the conversation, came back to it. But what I'm saying is that they've been consistently there. Buffalo, this was considered a year when they would make big strides from what the McDermott program began in 2017. McDermott and general manager Brandon Bean, they were a playoff team that first year, kind of very fluky, as you know, with the loss to with Baltimore's loss to Cincinnati on that Hail Mary on that end of play against the Bengals, but then took a step back. And then came back in 2019, year two of Josh Allen. And now in year three, Josh is, I mean, it's going up. The graph has gone up to an MVP-like level. And I think that's been the difference. And I thought they'd win about 11 games. I thought they'd be in the conversation, in the hunt. I also thought they'd win more than one playoff game. They've been one and done in two of their two previous appearances. But but Buffalo fans, the appreciation, there's been, you can't call them spoiled in any way. They are really sopping up every drop of this.
Vic Carucci is here. He is a longtime historian of all things National Football League and Buffalonian, but you also work for the Browns. I mean, this is a fascinating tournament, I think, all the way around. And listen, I've never rooted for the Browns in my life, right? I'm Baltimore. I'll be a Browns fan on Sunday if we win. And we can't even go, you know, we've never had an AFC championship game here, right? Last AFC championship game in Baltimore was the Oakland Raiders in 1970, right? So it's been 50 years. And if that were to happen this week, we don't have fans that can go either. So it really is, you know, COVID's just been, it's just really been something, right? And I guess for the league to survive it and get to this point, Vic, I mean, I wasn't sure they were going to play or they should play. I'm pretty right. convinced college football shouldn't have played, quite frankly. And we're seeing all sorts of different things now happen in our country, politically and otherwise. But from a football perspective, and the Ravens were guilty of standing the country up on Thanksgiving night with the COVID problems, they've at least gotten to this point. I mean, I hope nothing derails that between now and Tampa.
Yeah, Nestor, I would say it's been remarkable, I think. And I say this loosely because I'm way over my pay grade to talk about the science of it all, but loosely, I would say it has been remarkable that the league has survived to this point. And that's what it feels like. It definitely doesn't feel like any way a normal season. This conversation we're having via Zoom, and I know you were saying it would be much better to hang out, have some wings, have some beers, enjoy a regular time. Well, that those regular times aren't being enjoyed the way I think people obviously know and want. And in terms of not being able to be present at the games to show their support that way, which feels has been a source. I'm gonna say it's a somewhat of a source of frustration, but the fans are past that now. They're just enjoying it as they enjoy it. So if
have you been going to the games or have you been watching from home?
I have not. I have not because to the point that I was going to make is this. There's no interacting in physically present with coaches, players, anybody. Every conversation, every interview, as you well know, is like this. So as long as it's like this, there is zero advantage to being in the stadium. There really is none. And I've got every view. I've got three. This is one of four screens I have in front of me. The one that you and I are speaking on. I've been equipped to be able to see pretty much everything I need to see from the TV standpoint. It's not ideal, but when it comes to the interviews, reporters aren't leaving the press box, and they do those via their laptops or whatever.
I did mine from my couch with the Fadley's Crab Cake Sunday. I mean, me, Vic. I mean, I know you. I don't want to miss games, but this is where we are, right? I mean, at least they're playing it. We're getting to talk about it and watch it and interact with it. But I hope we all get a shot in the arm and this is the end of this, right?
I mean, that's my hope too. And if I don't have that shot in my arm yet, not on any qualifying list that I know of, when that happens, you know, it'll change my view. And does it, when I say view, my approach to things, but I will say this, if this team, the Bills team, makes it to Tampa, which I think I have an excellent shot at that. The plan, I understand it from the league, is the participating teams will not be there until like a day before or maybe the Friday at the earliest, maybe Friday, but I think it's more like Friday or Saturday before the game, just like a normal regular season travel. And if that's the case, there is like zero advantage to being there when actually the team is.
Well, it is Tampa. The weather's better, but yeah, you can't go out, you know? So that's the hardest part of all of this, was just sort of disseminating what you can and can't do, should and shouldn't do. I went to Houston week two, Vic. I sat up, you know, you've been to that stadium many, you've seen Super Bowls there with me.
Yeah.
Up on the roof, and you know, it was me and John McClain and three other people, and there's nobody in the stadium. Yeah. And there's a hurricane going on outside, right? The last time that happened, the roof blew off the thing. And I, you know, other than the étouffée I got, you know, watching the Sunday night game in my room, I'm like, the hell am I doing in a courtyard off the freeway in Houston tonight, you know? But I'm glad I did it once because it's just so strangely peculiar. And from a home field advantage, there is no such thing, right? And the Bills are favored this week to win. I guess they've proven to be the better team, but this is a point where you look at the Ravens and how they played the last 5 weeks and what they do offensively and how Lamar is, and you look at this game and say, well, I could see how the Ravens are going to win, right?
That's why I call this an ideal matchup. It's the two hottest teams in the league by far. They're both coming in red hot, and I think it's a collision course. I don't know how odds makers – I mean, I know just anecdotally that the point spread and all that are based on trying to move money back and forth on each team. But truth be told, in my mind, these are pretty evenly matched teams with two class of 18 quarterbacks who are outstanding in their own right and do very similar things. And I can see either team coming out on top. My sense is that Buffalo is overall the better team, has the edge, just because of the way their offense has functioned. No offense really is functioning as consistently well as that one. And I would include Green Bay and Kansas City in that discussion. Stephon Diggs has been amazing. I don't see a cornerback playing for the Ravens or any team that can blanket him and take him out of the game. Cole Beasley is the modern Julian Edelman, the latter day Julian Edelman. He gets open all the time and underneath, and Diggs has a lot to do with that. But you know where the story begins? Josh Allen playing football at a monster level.
Well, and for him, you mentioned the two of them, they were passed over by others, right? You know, sitting draft night and, you know, Josh Rosen and who you know, Allen, I guess it's courses for horses, right? Like, it's a good spot for him, right? And I think certainly for Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens did at the end of Flacco to say, we're going to build our whole team around you. We're going to draft around you. We're going to draft linemen around you. We're going to draft wide receivers that crack down and block. And when the quarterback is the best running back, it's, and Greg Roman's figured this out, and I know you know Greg as well. Greg's figured this out. There really is, as long as he stays healthy and upright, throws the ball well enough, it really is something to watch defenses try during the week to figure out how to do this, because some of it's a little counterintuitive to what they're taught.
Yeah, for sure. And look, the Bills will look at a whole lot, of course. They've looked a whole lot at last year's video, right? And Lamar Jackson, 40 yards rushing on 11 carries, a 145 passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. It wasn't a stellar day. I mean, you can't say it was Jackson who beat the Bills. It was really a stout Ravens defense that did the job, I think, against Josh Allen and company. But Josh is a far better player. He did not have Stephon Diggs in that game. Beasley wasn't playing the way he is now. I think those are differences. I think the line from a pass protection standpoint does a better job. As far as the defense goes against Lamar, it's interesting to me to see the way this running game of the Ravens really starts with those backs, with Big Gus and Dobbins, and then the power setting up the perimeter work or the breakdown work that happens in front of Lamar to pull it down and then take off if it's not designed. I thought Tennessee was actually doing a very credible job up to the point that for whatever reason on that 48-yard run, we'll stunt this time instead of going straight at him. And when a defense stunts, I believe the rule that Greg Roman's coaching and the coaching staff has given those offensive linemen of the Ravens, let those D linemen go wherever they want to go. Just let them go. And because they'll take themselves out of the play.
They'll zig and you'll zag, period.
And
right?
He'll take off and go for 48. So I think Buffalo might have learned something from that too, sure.
Well, staying at home is a very difficult thing to do, and keeping an eye on him and realizing if he gets first step burst, you're not going to catch him. Right. There are very few people on the field that can catch him in space. And he can throw it as long as he's behind the line of scrimmage as well. You know, it's been daunting, but the teams that have shut him down, and the Bills, to your point, 15, 14 months ago, whenever it was, that they were one of the teams you said, well, they played this smart. They figured this out. They have the right personnel. They use their personnel well. And then it's about what the Ravens do. And Lamar, when he's thrown the ball well, the Ravens win. There have been weeks where he's thrown the ball all over the place. The weather will be a factor in that on Saturday night in Buffalo.
I believe it will. A lot of people have been asking me about this, and I put on my fake meteorology hat. It is they're calling for snow, some kind of storm to come through later Saturday, and that's where the it gets tricky here. What does later Saturday mean? Does it mean, you know, in the 8:15 kickoff range till, you know, whatever, 11:15, 11:30, or is it later than that? I my sense would be somewhere in that window of late night Saturday, snow will be falling. It'll be cold. Probably some winds kicking up off of Lake Erie. That stadium is nearer to the lake than where I am. And then you'll get that event. They said the heaviest snow is supposed to fall on Sunday, so maybe that's where it'll dodge out. But it is also
another reason not to come, not get stuck there.
Well, it's been defined also as a south of Buffalo, south of the city event. That is where Orchard Park and Bill Stadium are located.
Well, you know, no one knows lake effect snow like you, even though you're from Utica, right?
It's one of those fun things. Look. Nestor, we've been pretty for November. I'll tell you a quick one. Drew Bledsoe, I had a conversation with him about all Josh Allen breaking all his single season records, right? For yards, for touchdown. You know, Josh obliterated 2002 Drew Bledsoe passing records when he came aboard from
the
Patriots.
The angry Drew Bledsoe by the time he got there. Well, he was ready to ball.
We were talking and he said, you know, Eric Moles and I, they were on a Zoom call watching that Monday night game between Buffalo and New England. He goes, Eric Moles and I were talking, and you know what we decided? We decided you got to put an asterisk on all those records because they've had like balmy weather. It's been like 70 and beautiful throughout October and November in Buffalo. Not fair. We had a play in wind and snow. So he said, we've agreed that those records really need to not count. And he was being facetious, obviously.
Well, last time there was a Saturday night playoff game in Buffalo, when was that?
Saturday night playoff game.
Dark in dead of winter in Buffalo. No. That hadn't happened.
You know, because they were on the road for, the 95, but those weren't night. Remember, the NFL did this later on in the, during the Bills, dark ages, if you will, of non-playoff participation when they decided that primetime games, when they played like, that Super Bowl run, I mean, those playoff games were in the middle of the
day. Was at the Raiders game, the 51-3 game. I went up with Versig. I've been telling that story all week. I mean, that was a 1 o'clock game. I mean, and that game was over at about 105, as I remember it.
Yeah, right around there, 103, 105. It was over.
It was Reed left, Thomas right. I mean, you know, at Ted Marchibroda, right? The great late. Yeah. Ted Marchibroda involved in that. Yeah. Vic Carucci's here. Buffalo, all things Buffalo. What are you doing with yourself? That's all right. You got more gigs than anybody I know, and you've written so many books. And I go over back and read about how dirty Comrade Dobler is. I've Googled this, man.
Well, appreciate it. Yeah, that keeps me busy. Working on book projects. I always there's always something in the hopper there, which is nice, and you kind of keep it in the background. This season, though. Has kept me very, very busy. But Sirius XM NFL Radio, I've been with them since the channel signed on in 2004. Proud to say that I've been part of that. It's been a great run, great company.
Keep Marvez and all those guys straight, right?
Great crew of just legendary people. Yeah.
Nicky Pavlatos, my man. Absolutely.
He's the best. And so doing that. Local TV with the NBC affiliate. Nestor, as you well know, when you get to this time and everything's cranked up, so instead of like two or three shows a week, it becomes four or five shows.
Everybody wants a piece.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you making time, Vic. Take care of yourself. Stay safe up there. Make sure you know, we're all in this thing together here and hanging out. And one of us will be home and one of us will be a Browns fan on Sunday. I hope that's me at this point. I'm not ready for the season to end, right? I mean, in the middle of the plague, the NFL is all I've got. It's not like you two and like Pearl Jam are showing up anytime soon, right?
Yeah, it feels like it never ends, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know a whole lot of fans that I hear from regularly. And you know what? I really root for them. I try to be as dispassionate as possible. I believe that's the only way you can cover this, right? You can't get too caught up emotionally, good or bad. But I'll say this to you. The number of people, and I'm talking family members, I'm talking, you know, just neighbors and season ticket holders, their joy, their electricity, something I have not, I mean, we hang out and talk about a lot of things through the years and have fun times together. This is so different. And I'm rooting for them for this ride to continue for their sake, because I feel like there's that cliche pep in your step in the hole where everybody feels it.
Lamar's coming to town to take your chicken wings, Vic Carucci. Let the neighbors know, Buffalo and Baltimore. There's no rivalry between us at all, but there will be on Saturday night. Vic, I love having you on, man. Take care of yourself. I hope to see you somewhere poolside at an owner's meeting or at some godforsaken Indianapolis hotel bar at some godforsaken combine, you know. Even the stuff I thought I hated, I miss.
Sounds great, Nestor.
Vic Carucci, the legendary Vic Carucci, joining us from Buffalo, New York. And, I don't hurt his feelings too much, Dylan. I read him when I was a kid, but I did. I'm still a kid at heart. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.